powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Welcome back in to Tom, Jake, and Stacy. Let's kick this off with a few NFL headlines, and then we have NFL picks later in the show, so I want you to hang on to this number. Don't call it yet, but 206-421-3776. Just hang on to it for later. We're going to do a bit of a switcheroo. We're actually going to have Curtis face off against Tom coming up here in about 10, 12 minutes for a special Seahawks quiz edition of Bye Bye Bye. No opponent this week, just all Seahawks-related questions. I think this week's is pretty easy. It's a little bit of a gimme just to kind of ease into the bye weekend without a game. Just relax. Just chill. Just be chill, Tom. All right. The Patriots have canceled practice after there was another positive COVID test. As of right now, though, both the Pats and Broncos, who are set to play this weekend, have been told the game is still on. This is starting to feel, initially when the Titans were getting it, what felt like a couple new tests every single day, it felt like something that would throw the league off its course. You'd see a halt to the season. You saw some games be rescheduled. A couple teams were affected that had nothing to do with the positive testing. The Chargers were one of those teams. The Broncos, another team. But it seems like now the league has gotten into the swing of things of how to deal with a single positive test or anything like that. So I don't know if it was strengthening their, regulations of how they handle things within the building, or if they've just doubled down and decided they will not cancel or postpone any more games. But this weekend's game's still on.
Yeah, another positive test. But here's the thing. Weren't they told initially that they weren't going to play, which is what had Melvin Gordon all upset of the Broncos? Because they had practiced basically all week, and then he thought they weren't going to play. He goes out, gets a DUI, then gets sick, now they're going to play again?
No, that was a game that was rescheduled. So the Denver's bye week was moved up to week 5. So that was a separate game. So this game was, I believe, moved to this week or already on the schedule, and the Broncos had another game that was rescheduled. But this was...
I'm so confused. I don't get it.
It's fair. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with all of this right now. All you need to know is that right now, Patriots-Broncos is still set to be played, and I'm going to feel pretty bad for the Broncos if they do get another game postponed. It seems like the NFL is going to do everything in its power to not have a game postponed.
As long as human lives are saved,
right.
Well, I suppose I am fine.
Okay, that's good. Le'Veon Bell has signed with the Kansas City Chiefs after being released by the Jets. I don't know what the heck is going on over there, but I kind of hope that Bell, who I know some people are not a fan of him, finds success with Kansas City. It's not necessarily because I root for Kansas City's success, although sometimes I do. I mean, good friend of mine, Taylor Jacobs, who works here, is a big fan. Patrick Mahomes, fun to watch. But mostly, I want to know what the deal is with the Jets. And if Le'Veon Bell finds a way to succeed with Kansas City sooner rather than later, it feels much more like it's an Adam Gase problem and less like it's a Bell problem. Don't you think, Tom?
Yeah, I definitely think that a lot of the Jets' problem is an Adam Gase problem. I don't think there's any question about that. But Bell, yeah, I'm not a fan of Bell. I don't hate him. Like, I mean, about 10 or 15 years ago, I mean, I really disliked Terrell Owens, mostly because he just tortured my team over and over and over again. But I just didn't like his attitude. He would get traded somewhere, be good for a year, then tear a locker room apart. Bell doesn't really approach that level, but I'm just not a big fan of him. I think he's made some really strange moves and hurt. I think he's hurt himself. I think he's hurt teams that he's been part of. And now going to Kansas City, I mean, he could end up being successful there. But generally, I like the Kansas City Chiefs. I think I finally found a reason to not root for them.
Do you think this is a risky move for them?
No, I don't think that it'll hurt them. I'm not so sure they need him. I know they've got the rookie, Edwards-Helaire? Mm-hmm. And who else do they have at running back? Are they short on depth?
I think it's just the idea that, like, you bring in someone for presumably a veteran minimum because he's got his guaranteed money from New York. So it's someone that comes into your offense. You just get yet another weapon for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still phenomenal. I love that he's petite. Yeah. I'm rooting for him. LSU kid.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't begrudge Bell success if he went there and he played well. I mean, that's the ultimate goal here. And we talk about vindication before with the Astros. If Bell were to go to Kansas City and play really well, I mean, that would vindicate him in my mind in terms of things that he feels about the Jets. I mean, again, I don't like people playing out their own little, you know, psychodramas in the public.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, what's true is true.
Right. Speaking of the Chiefs, a Chiefs practice squad player, Mike Weber, has auctioned his Super Bowl ring just weeks after getting it. Is this weird? I feel like it's not, but I don't know why I think that. I think it's because I don't want to label someone as weird for being like, oh, I don't really care about this. Maybe I want money. Maybe it's for charity. Whatever, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't call the player weird. I mean, I could see it either way. On one hand, a practice squad guy, maybe that ring means more to him than it would even, you know, your average starter. On the other hand, maybe because he doesn't make as much money,
right?
Maybe he figures, all right, it's just a ring. I'm gonna take the money, or I'm gonna give it, like you said, to charity, or he's got some other ideas with it. I mean, I get it either way, but I think that when you auction off I've got wedding on my mind, Super Bowl ring, only weeks after getting it, that means that it just meant like zero to you. Like, you know what? I don't need this thing at all. I'm doing something else.
Yeah, he didn't wait very long. Although, to be fair, it's fetching a lot of money, so it hasn't been sold yet. Right now, the highest bid, guess what the highest bid is? You might go over, actually.
Didn't it say $100,000?
It's $60,000, but it's running for another 2+ weeks. So it could easily get higher than that. If I'm a practice squad player, I'm like, cool. Like, that's a year's salary. I'm down for that. I am down for $100,000 from a ring with a team that, like, I don't know how much longer I was going to be with this team. I don't know. I think that it would be weirder to see Patrick Mahomes auctioning off a Super Bowl ring than it would be to see a practice squad player who maybe didn't spend a lot of time with the team or whatever do it.
I'll say this. If Mahomes were to do that and then, say, other high-profile players were to start doing that, like, as a trend, do you think owners would start to rethink having those things made?
Wait, what?
What do you mean, what? If players started routinely auctioning off their rings,
yeah.
Do you think owners would rethink having them made in the first place?
No, you can't. It's tradition. You have to do it. You have to do it.
That's a drop.
Why
in the
would
bucket.
I make if I'm an?
Yeah, exactly. That's nothing for them. And the owners want Super Bowl rings too. So are you now going to just be like, okay, you only get one if you're going to hang on to it?
How much? What's the average value or cost to make a Super Bowl ring?
I'd say probably like $50,000.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it?
I mean, they're pretty gaudy.
Oh, I thought it would be more. I thought it would be about $100,000. So I was going to say $100,000 times however many you get made, which is what? It's more than 53.
Probably about 100 because you got coaches, various staff members.
Yeah.
Because right, I know so there are multiple people in the Seahawks organization that aren't involved in, like, game day operations.
Yeah, still got one.
That still got one.
Interesting. Okay. Mm.
All right. I was thinking of this question the other day. I'm going to warn you that it's kind of dark, but I just want to... It's important to have this conversation in a weird season. It's related to this story out of Cleveland. The Browns have three huge players questionable. Baker Mayfield, OBJ, and Jarvis Landry. All questionable. Here's the question for you, Tom. How would the Seahawks do without Russ, DK, and Lockett? Can you imagine? That's the situation the Browns are in right now.
I would be absolutely petrified. I mean, at least the Browns have some pretty good players on defense. Could the Seahawks win a game without Russ, DK, and Lockett? So I'm left with, like, Geno. Who's my number one receiver in that case? David Moore?
Yeah, probably. Well, Greg Olsen. You've still got Will Dissly.
Right, but the two tight ends, Moore, Swain. Could you win a game? Man, I don't know.
See, that's so far in all these games,
they've had to score, what, at least 27 points to win all these games so far?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. That's not happening.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Sorry.
The thing is, it's okay if it doesn't. Most teams would probably lose without their two best wide receivers and their quarterback, but it's a scary... I don't like thinking about it. I was thinking earlier today of just, like, what it looks like when your defense has to win you a game or whatever. Look, guys, it was a dark place. All right. Are you guys ready for a game show?
I am more than ready.
Here we go. It's time for Bye Bye Bye. So normally we do a weekly preview where I quiz Tom and Jake on this week's upcoming opponent. Given that it's the Seahawks bye week, I have a very simple, easy kind of quiz to just kind of get us up to speed with a few Seahawks stats from this year and also just some random Seahawks trivia. So these should be questions that every single listener should be able to answer. That's the point of this quiz, okay? Every single person should be able to answer these questions or get really close to them. Who wants to go first?
Tom, didn't you win last time? Or
yeah.
You didn't beat me. You beat Jay.
Tom, you're going first.
Right.
Okay, Tom.
We'll go age before beauty.
Question number one. True or false, the Seahawks have had at least one sack in every game this season?
False.
Oh,
what?
No.
They've had a sack in every game?
They've had a sack in every game this season. It's shocking.
Does a strip sack count as a sack?
Well, there was one. I think there was one where they split. Two guys split a sack. Yeah, a sack in every game.
When did they sack Cousins?
LJ Collier got his first career
that's
sack.
That's right.
Yeah.
That must have been when I was asleep.
Yeah, that's the problem. Tom, you can't sleep through whole halves of football games. What are you doing?
The sanctity of this quiz show is at stake,
Come
Tom.
Come on, Tom. I work day and night on this quiz every single day. And not at all this morning. Curtis.
All right, Curtis.
The Seahawks got off to a 5-0 start for franchise history.
True.
Hold on. Hold your horses.
Darn.
With their win over the Vikings, period. Here's your question. The last time the Seahawks were off to a 4-0 start was 2013. Which team did the Hawks lose to in week 5 of that year?
That would be the Indianapolis Colts in Lucas Oil Stadium. I think Jermaine Kearse had a blocked punt in that
that's
game.
Enough.
That would have been great if the question was, name the game and tell me 5 things that happened.
Yeah.
Curtis could have done it. You could have done it. All right, Tom. You're going to, if you don't get these, it's going to be something where you're kicking yourself. List all the Seahawks retired numbers, number and name.
Oh, no.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Thank you.
I just thought about that the other day. Okay, all the retired numbers. So we've got Cortez. Oh, the number is 96.
You got to keep going.
Say it with your chest.
Yeah, 96.
Okay, but at least tell me if that's one.
That's
of them.
One
that's correct.
Okay, thank
correct.
God.
He wore two jersey numbers in his career, but that's the one
that's retired. All right. One down, four to go.
Okay, one down, four to go.
Yeah.
Oh
boy. Dang it.
We've got a guy by the name. Well, are we counting 12?
Is that your guess or not?
I'm just asking if we're counting it because it's not a player.
We are counting the Seahawks retired jerseys.
All right. Walter Jones. 71.
Yeah.
God, did they retire? Jacob Green. 90?
Oh, no. Tom.
He's not retired.
Or
his jersey's not retired.
No, he's not retired. He's still in the game.
It's the only Hall of Famers... had their jerseys retired.
Oh, Kenny Easley's retired?
Yeah, Kenny 45. Easley, 45. Also, Steve Largent, 80. And Tom, yes,
got there eventually.
The 12 jersey is officially retired by the Seahawks. So the number 12
right,
jersey
well,
is retired.
I knew that it was. I didn't was just asking it. If we were counting it.
Oh, Tom. All right, Curtis.
Stacy.
During... Sorry, a bug fell from the ceiling.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I got scared. Curtis, during four downs earlier this week, I said there was a category where Michael Dixon was leading all other punters. What is it?
Is it punts inside the 20?
It
there
is. Do you want to give yourself the... There you go.
There we go. Yeah. I mean, I've got the sound effects handy. I'll give them myself.
God, you guys, my heart is beating so fast. I can't stress enough. Oh, God, I thought I almost
died. Can I just say something about that last question? It was a perfectly fair question.
Yeah.
I just want people to know. Like, I don't want you going around telling your friends Tom didn't know that Steve Largent's jersey number was retired. I know that.
He was going to get to it.
I just buckled. Stop. Hold on, let me talk. I just buckled under the pressure of the question.
That's fair.
I was, like, panicking, and eluded me.
Right, okay.
I'm sorry. Charlie, quiet!
That's fine.
I'm breaking my concentration.
Charlie, stop distracting Tom! Tom, how many sacks do the Seahawks have this season?
Oh, come on, really?
I didn't pick you to go first.
If I didn't know that they had a sack in every game, you're giving me another sack question?
You know what? These are randomly ordered.
Okay. Three. Four. Five.
It's nine. Tom.
They have nine sacks?
Yeah. Yep.
Then why are we complaining about the pass rush?
Well, that's not a lot compared to some other teams.
It's basically two a game. Not bad.
It's not awful. It's just that you're also not necessarily getting to the quarterback consistently because quarterbacks are still throwing for like 300-400 yards against you. You know what I'm saying? You picking up what I'm putting down? Curtis!
All right.
Here, Tom, check this one out for Curtis. You're not going to get this. I'm going to let you know right now. Russell Wilson has thrown 19 touchdowns through the first five games this season. True or for... No, I'm just kidding. How many did he throw for the first five games of last season within... Two.
In two. Boy.
Oh, that's a tough question.
Yeah, that is a tough one. I'm going
to
say he threw the first five games a year ago, 13.
Oh, no, it's right. Oh, he threw 12. Oh, no. Okay, what's the score, Tom?
A lot to a little.
Okay. I think it's 3-1, but that's okay. We can bounce.
No, it's 3-0. I haven't gotten
3-0. You haven't gotten one?
You got to be the Astros here, Tom.
Okay. Tom, I want you to listen.
Wow.
I want you to listen and I want you to believe. DK Metcalf, a Seattle Seahawk, is third in the NFL in receiving yards with 496. I really believe in you for this one. Who are the two receivers ahead of him right now? In the NFL.
I'll never get it.
Tom.
All right.
I believe in
you. Calvin Ridley, one of them.
I'm going to give you a mulligan.
No, don't patronize me.
Okay, then guess the other one just for fun.
All right.
Both were traded
Thielen?
Within the last year.
Ooh, that's a good clue.
Both were traded?
Within the last year.
So they're doing this for new teams.
Both on new teams.
Again, I'm feeling too ashamed.
You're overwhelmed.
To like think about it. So I'm just giving up.
Okay. Right. It's Stephon Diggs, number two. Number one, DeAndre Hopkins.
I wouldn't have got either one of those.
That's okay. Oh, man. Who do I want?
Good question, though.
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah. Curtis, for the win.
For the win.
What you got?
Curtis, for the win. Steve, Curtis, if you don't answer this correctly, I'm giving Tom the win.
Steve Largent.
This is how this is going to work right now. Tom wins this game if you do not answer this question correctly. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Steve Largent is the all-time franchise leader in receiving yards for the Seahawks with 13,089. Who is second?
Second is Doug Baldwin, right? It's got to be Doug Baldwin.
It's Brian Blades.
Whoa!
Tom, you
that
won
was
the
actually
game.
My guess.
You won the game, Tom! I need to double check this. DJ did
we this. Talked to Brian Blades at the Super Bowl, Clayton and I, and he hasn't been up to Seattle, I think, since they've moved into CenturyLink.
Really?
Yeah. Got to get Brian Blades up here, guys. What's that all about?
Is it unfair that I'm, like, going to double-check DJ's answers? It is Brian Blades. Doug Baldwin, number three, just behind him with about 1,000 fewer yards. Steve Largent just demolishes everyone else. It is insane when you look at that. He has almost twice as much as Brian Blades. Brian Blades was 7,600 about. Steve Largent, like I said, over 13,000, so... Tom, congratulations. You did it.
Hey, thanks. I felt like I performed well.
I think you did. I really think you did.
You know what I feel most badly about is that you and DJ put so much work and time into this quiz, and I just didn't even show up. Like, I just got them all wrong. Like, I feel like I just didn't contribute.
See, this is one of those things where you waited for the other team to make a mistake. You know?
I did. A bad one.
Yeah. Let's see what's
in
on
fairness,
tap.
In fairness, that was going to be my guess, Brian Blades. It was.
I believe.
This is What's on Tap with Tom, Jake, and Stacey. Brought to you by Dietz and Watson. So, folks, what's on tap?
All right. More playoff baseball. The Dodgers versus Braves NLCS Game 4 tonight at 6 p.m. on 710 ESPN Seattle. I personally am rooting for the Braves, if only because I would love to have a Braves Rays World Series. I just like the way it sounds. Rays, Braves, Braves, Raves, Braves, Raves. Think about it. I think it's fun. I think it's a fun sound.
Plus that big conversation we had about Atlanta yesterday with T.I. and whatnot.
The only reason I would want the Dodgers to advance is maybe if they get to beat the Astros. Maybe that's it. But then
revenge.
You got to risk. Then you got to risk the Astros winning. It's a big risk to take on, you know? All right. We will do our NFL picks next. So I'm going to give you guys the number. We're going to go ahead and do first person to call. So it's going to be 206-421-3776 or 866-979-3776. Picks are next. This is Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Rost.
A text from the 907. Tom, can you win the game in the first question?
No!
Can you win the game on the second question?
No!
Can you win the game on the third question?
No!
Can you win the game on the fourth question?
Hell yeah!
I had someone tweeting saying it was a bit of an unfair ending to the game. Yeah, it was. You sure right it was.
If you've ever listened to
if you
our
ever
Friday
listened
quizzes,
to it, it's always an unfair ending to the game.
That's kind of how it goes around here.
Oh, man. All right. Let's get to our picks. We have Kern and Shelton joining us. Kern, how are you?
I'm doing well. It sounds like Friday around that place.
It's definitely Friday.
You
okay. Do you know how this works?
Vaguely.
Okay. I'll remind you. So we're going to put you on hold. Do not hang up. Don't go anywhere. Tom and I are going to go through the five games I have here on my schedule. We're going to pick the teams that we think will win. We're going to bring you back, and we're going to have you go through. And then at the end, we're going to have you go ahead and guess the score for the Seahawks game, just to for a bit of a tiebreaker there just
one.
In case. Well, oh, right,
with,
right. And by the Seahawks game, I mean the Kansas City Chiefs-Buffalo Bills game, of course. Duh.
He said with or without point spreads. This is just straight up.
Correct? Oh, whoa. Yeah, just straight up,
well,
straight
that's
up.
Too easy.
Oh, wow. Right.
Okay.
Kern's confident. Okay, Kern, don't go anywhere, okay?
Confident.
All right.
Confident. Okay. Yeah, he's confident. Oh, man. Okay, Tom, are you ready? The Seahawks game. What am I doing? Chicago at Carolina. I am going with Chicago against my better judgment.
Okay. So you're going with the Bears.
Going with the Bears.
I got to tell you, the Panthers have surprised me this season. Teddy Bridgewater, he's looking like a good quarterback again. Mm-hmm. I'm going with the Panthers. They're playing good football right now. Tom, you got to
do a tiebreaker.
Bears or Panthers?
Oh, boy. Well, I told you before how much I like the Bears defense, but Teddy Bridgewater has elite intelligence. I will go with... I'll go with Carolina.
Okay, we got Carolina for our pick here. Just everyone remember that I said it was Chicago for when I am right later. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Tom, you go first.
Yep, I picked Cleveland because I think that Seattle is going to be the lone undefeated team after this weekend. So I got to go with the Cleveland Browns.
Man, we are all over the place because I'm going with Pittsburgh. They've seemed pretty unstoppable. I think the Cleveland Browns are great. They've just got too many injuries. So, Curtis, you got to be a tiebreaker.
I got to be the tiebreaker.
You got to be the tiebreaker.
Let's see here.
Cleveland or Pitt?
Cleveland or Pittsburgh? Cleveland, as we learned earlier this week, has not won in Pittsburgh since 2003.
Great year.
Tim Couch.
Tim Couch leading the way. You got Baker Mayfield now. I'm still going with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, we got Pittsburgh Steelers for that one. Tom, you have been overruled. We've got the undefeated Green Bay Packers looking to also improve to 5-0 and match Seattle's record against Tom Brady in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom.
Well, just going by what I said in the last one, I think Green Bay is going to lose because they're not going to be undefeated. But there's good reason in this one. Tampa Bay's at home. Brady and the Bucs are coming alive a little bit. I think even without that, I'd pick Tampa Bay anyway. So, yeah. Tampa.
All right. I think it could be Green Bay, but I want to will Tampa's win into existence, so I'm also going Tampa Bay. So we've got Carolina, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay. Now we've got Sunday Night Football, L.A. Rams at San Francisco 49ers. I think that San Francisco can get the upset here. I think that the Rams are one game behind the Seattle Seahawks, but have played all of the NFC East so far. So congratulations on being NFC East champions. Unfortunately, I think the San Francisco 49ers can get in there and upset them this week.
I'm just clarifying something. We're not allowed to pick ties, are we?
It would be fun, but no.
That'd just be too crazy for this
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know who I'm picking. The Rams
sure
of Los Angeles.
See, Come that on. Means we need another tiebreaker.
One more tiebreaker.
All right.
Curtis or Harden back there? You want to give us a San Francisco or Rams? Go ahead, Harden.
Got to go with the Rams.
What do you mean you got to go with the Rams?
They're the better team.
Gosh, what's wrong with you? All right. Kansas City at Buffalo. I'm going Kansas City. I didn't even hesitate. I already wrote it down.
You know what? I picked the Raiders to beat Kansas City last week. I was right. Buffalo? Man, I picked them the other night, and I was disappointed. Yeah, I'll go Kansas City. What the heck? They bounced back.
All right.
Get Kern back on.
Let's bring Kern back in. Do we have Kern?
I'm alive.
Okay, wonderful. Kern, glad to hear it. We've got Chicago at Carolina. Who are you taking?
Let's go with Teddy... Shooter Bridgewater.
All right, Carolina. Cleveland at Pittsburgh.
I'm going to take the Browns.
Oh, there you go. Okay, we've got one difference here. We outvoted Tom. Green Bay at Tampa Bay. The Battle of the Bays.
Battle of the Bays. I was thinking the same thing. I like Green Bay.
All right. Green Bay. So you think there's going to be another 5-0 team here soon? L.A. Rams at San Francisco 49ers. Can San Francisco get the upset?
I don't think so.
All right. We've got the Rams. Last one here, Kern. KC at Buffalo.
I'm all in on the Chiefs.
All right, Chiefs. For fun, let's go ahead and have you guess the score of that one.
How about 28... 17 KC.
All right.
We need to probably pick a score for ours too for the Kansas City game too, don't we?
I'm gonna say Kansas City. Buffalo's defense is good. The problem is Kern picked such a good score. It really is easy for him. He does this just effortlessly. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and say Kansas City bounces back with a little higher. I'm going to say 35 Kansas City, 30 Buffalo. Let's stick with that.
35-30.
Yeah, why not? Let's make it exciting. Come on. Let's be bold, Tom. It's Bold Take Friday. All right, Kern, thank you so much for playing. You've been awesome. Go ahead and stay on the line. We're going to get your information here. Thanks for playing.
Thank you. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too. All right, don't forget you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app powered by Dubin Law Group. Tom Wassel, Stacey Rost here, about to sum it up with you. Tom, I have to tell you something. Kern really believes in your LA Rams. And that upsets me. Because I think that what happens if your love for the LA Rams starts to clash with your love of the Seattle Seahawks? You know what happens if these two become neck and neck in the NFC West, Tom? You got to be ready to choose.
That'll never happen. As much as I love Jared Goff, I like Russell Wilson a heck of a lot more.
He's a better quarterback.
Well, he is, but even just like, you know, personally, I kind of feel bad for both of them in their own way. But I noticed it last year when the Rams beat the Seahawks at L.A. Like, I was pretty upset by that. I think, if I remember right, that was a Sunday night game. Like, I wasn't in any way, shape, or form pulling for the Rams. I root for the Rams just, like, sort of for fun because my other team, the Giants, is so bad. Like, I need somebody outside of Seattle to look to, you know, just for a little bit of amusement here and there.
Fair.
And the Rams just happen to fit the bill. You know, what can I say?
I understand. All right, we sum it up next.
The wait is over.
They're going to wave him in.
It's time to sum it up with Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Shot clock turned up.
The final word on everything that matters today in sports.
Step back.
Welcome back in to Tom, Jake, and Stacey. Went over some NFC contenders and pretenders. Think we're all decided there. Went through a couple picks for this weekend. There was one story that we glossed over a bit in the timeline, and I really want to get back to it. We talked about Mark Sanchez on The Herd with Colin Cowherd. He's obviously incredibly familiar with Pete Carroll's philosophy, who he is as a coach, who he is as a person, and with how successful Russell Wilson's been. He was asked, basically, what do you think is the secret sauce to Russell Wilson's success? So here was Mark Sanchez in cut number one giving his explanation.
You haven't had the stroke today. You haven't had the...
Yep.
Now's the biggest drive, and you're great. What do you think that secret sauce is with Russell? Because he does this a lot.
Pete Carroll. I guarantee you. So Russ has that innate ability. Don't get me wrong. That's Russ. He's really molded and adapted himself to be a lot like Pete Carroll, and he had a lot of those qualities anyway. Coach Carroll harped on us that you can't win the game in the first three quarters. You can win it in overtime and in the fourth quarter. That's it. So I don't care what happens before that. We can win this game, and we will win this game, or we're just going to run out of time. So you never lose, right? That's Pete's mentality, and he has this incredible ability to convince you of that. And now Russell is just living out that conviction.
I love how amused, first of all, Colin was by Sanchez's answer. Like, he just, like, broke down laughing.
Not even so polite. Funny. Oh, good one, Mark. Good one.
Good thing we brought Mark in on a Friday. Well, look, Mark Sanchez would know, first of all, because he played under Pete and had great success under Pete. In fact, if you remember, when Sanchez left USC and to enter the draft, Pete had a comment right after that. Sort of, he wasn't undercutting Sanchez, but he did express the idea that maybe Sanchez needed another year in college. And some people thought, well, yeah, sure, Pete, you just want him back at SC, which maybe there was some truth to that. But I always thought that their relationship may have been a little bit strained as a result of that. But here's Mark Sanchez just, you know, giving Pete all the credit in the world for what the secret sauce is to Russ's success. Now, those two are a perfect match. Their mentality when it comes to approaching anything competitive is basically the same. I'm going to win. I'm going to have fun doing it. I'm not going to let anything drag me down. I believe in my ability. I believe in my teammates' ability. And we're going to go out there and we're going to do this. And it's not over until the clock hits three zeros. But I think Russ would have that mentality or something similar to it even without Pete. Now, Pete has helped to foster that and probably maximize it, I'm sure, especially in these late game situations. But Russ came into the league pretty much built the way he is. He was a little more raw, and he needed to develop, and that was up to Pete to do, and he's done it. But I think that Pete's effect on the other guys on the team, remember when Richard Sherman would talk about, like, Pete's method and how, you know, it was more important to the younger guys because he had already kind of gone through that. Well, okay, but at one point he did go through it. And Pete was the one that – remember what you said before about Richard Sherman and the chip on his shoulder? Like, Pete and John were the ones that believed in him enough to draft him. So Sherman bought in, and it paid all kinds of dividends for him. I think that's the case with guys like DeMontre Moore, for example, who had a big game against Minnesota the other day and came up with big plays in big spots. I mean – I don't know much about DeMontre Moore, but for him to be making those big plays at the end of the game when everything looks bleak, I mean, that proves that Pete has guys like him believing, even when it looks like things are not going to go your way that night. So I think it works more for the other players than it does for Russ. But does it benefit Russ? Absolutely.
Yeah, I love a couple ideas from what you said. First, that just Pete Carroll's belief in people can contribute to their own production because it inspires a belief in yourself when you're on the field. I think any good coach knows that, and any good player knows that too, right? You don't necessarily need a head coach to do that, but it helps when a head coach isn't detracting from it. I love, though, what you said about, look, Russell Wilson would have that mentality even without Pete Carroll, but it's kind of a perfect marriage of their mentality. We've talked a lot about what would Russell Wilson look like in an offense like Kansas City's. What would Russell Wilson look like if he was with Andy Reid? I think that would have been a perfect marriage for their skill set. Andy Reid is such a lovable coach. It could have been a perfect one for mentality. But Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson seem like a perfect marriage of mentality and mindset. And it has taken a while for their offensive philosophies or on-field ideas and plans to be on the same page. But as far as how they think as people, it is the perfect match for one another. I don't know that either contributed directly to how Russell Wilson grew up believing or clearly how Pete Carroll did, being much older, grew up believing. But I think the two found each other and in learning to grow with one another have continued to influence that kind of, I don't want to just say positivity or optimism. It's almost like this rare ability to compartmentalize losses and struggles and stay very even keeled and keep believing. And it sounds like this rah-rah kind of stuff that is in movies and really boring, but it's also kept them being the winningest team outside of New England, right? And I know that the gap between these two teams is a bit, but Seattle is right behind them. And I think that it's good to see them coming on the, you know, to terms with how they want to play on the field, but that mentality has always been there.
Yeah, I think in any partnership, whether it's a marriage or, you know, coach player relationship, whatever it is, sometimes you end up filling in each other's gaps. Other times you have things in common and you just end up sort of developing those strengths together. But the key to both is like a willingness for open communication. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that has definitely taken place. And we can throw Schottenheimer into the mix there, too, because he's definitely part of that as well. But we didn't know going into week one whether or not Pete was going to let Russ cook. And he may not describe it that way, right? Because what we're still going to see this season may be different from that, and Pete may have his own reasons for wanting to go with the offense that they have so far. But it's definitely a departure from what they've done in the past. That's undeniable. So his willingness to even go there, I think, shows that he's observed his player, who A, has gotten better, B, has put in the work, and C, for the first 7 years of his career, basically ran this type of offense that limited him without any kind of resistance or pushback.
Yeah.
You know, like, I always try, when somebody does something that I ask of them, and they do it, like, without any hesitation or questioning or whatever, I always try to file that away for later, for when they ask something of me, so that, like, I can say, all right, well, you know what, like, with Constance, as an example, like, you know what, she did this for me, she did this for me, and now she's asking me to do this other thing. I may not want to do it, but I'm going to, because, you know, she did before. Like with Russ, he ran this offense that he knew limited him, and now he wants me to give him a little bit of rope, I'm going to. I'll trust him. Like, that makes sense. That give and take there, the trust, you know, to earn trust, it takes time, but they've done that, clearly.
Well, and it's two very unique mentalities, too, because I think part of why Mark Sanchez says this is that he genuinely believes it. I think he genuinely believes Pete Carroll is one of the most unique people I've met with one of the most unique mindsets, and of course he's had an impact on Russell Wilson, because there's not many people that think like this. I think that, yeah, Pete Carroll probably has had an impact on Russell Wilson. I mean, that's what we're both saying here, what Mark Sanchez is saying. I don't think Mark Sanchez is intending to turn the conversation into Pete Carroll is the reason behind Russell Wilson's success, even though that's how a lot of people interpreted it. That's honestly why this sound ended up in the timeline, to be completely honest. There were some people that thought that's what he was saying. I like this version, Tom. I like your version of it being, look, these are two people with very unique mindsets that ended up being in a perfect partnership. And we'll see how far that takes them. So far, it's taken them to 5-0 to start the season for the first time in franchise history.
Yeah, I mean, if you replace Pete, if Russ had been drafted somewhere else, say, would things have gone as well? I mean, he'd be the same type of player, same person, but, you know, if he had a coach that yelled at the whole team before the fourth quarter started because he wasn't happy with the way things were going, would that have resulted in all those wins? Maybe not.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. I love these kinds of conversations. All right, that'll do it for us today and for this week. Bob David Moore is next. You got playoff baseball coming up after that. This has been Tom, Jake, and Stacy. Thanks so much for tuning in to 710 ESPN Seattle.